Hi, this is Mr. Brown, and welcome to See What Show, the movie, TV, and DVD review podcast for regular people. With me today in the studio is Tammy.
Hello.
And we're going to review 1408.
Yep, and Pixar's new movie, Ratatouille.
Rogue Assassin, also known as War. But first, what's showing this week?
What's showing this week?
Yay!
Paper sound.
What's showing this week?
First, we have a Shoot 'Em Up on sneak preview.
Clive Owen.
Yeah, what's that about,
action.
Though?
I saw the trailer. It looks like that's a pure action flick. He's protecting this chick from an assassin or some hitman who is this balding fat guy who looks dangerous yet, you know, weird.
That sounds like the Transporter, but...
Yeah, it's got that kind of feel, you know, the whole... Smoking Aces kind of stylized adrenaline action movie.
And long trench coats on everybody.
I'm so gonna watch it. Yeah. And he comes down, you know, with the stairwell thing all the way down with a rope, you know, holding down and shooting everybody as he comes down. That kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it.
The next show we have showing this week is Evan Almighty, which is the sequel to Bruce Almighty. This one has Evan, the very successful newscaster, you know, who took over Bruce's job and everything. This one has him building Noah's Ark. Okay. So, many, many animals and bears and whatnot. Stephen Carell is reprising his role as Evan. No sign of Jim Carrey, I think.
Nope.
And, I don't know whether it's going to be really good.
Review so far, not so hot.
I'm so-so about Evan because I was so-so about Bruce.
I like Bruce.
Really?
I enjoyed it. I was silly. But I think this is not so hot already. You know, have Jim Carrey. 881, Papa Yao.
Yes, local movie.
Coming. It's here. It's screening. It's about Ge Tai, Hungry Ghost concerts.
With identical twins and various singing assholes.
So far, like, doing quite well. My wife went to watch it with my mom and my brother. They said it's okay. It's quite fun. My wife has been annoying me with the Hokkien songs.
Oh dear.
From the movie. Yeah, she's been singing Hokkien songs and she can't get it out of her head. So I think they must be doing something right.
Well, at least it's catchy.
Let's move on to review time.
See what show? See what show? Review time.
1408. John Cusack is back.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yay. I like him very much. Mike Enslin is the character he plays, a jaded writer of books about haunted hotel rooms. He's cynical about these things.
Listen, I stayed at the Bigsby house. I brushed my goddamn teeth right next to the tub where Sir David Smith drowned his whole family. And I stopped being afraid of vampires when I was 12. Do you know why I can stay in your spooky old room, Mr. Olin? Because I know that ghoulies and ghosties and long-legged beasties don't exist. Even if they did, there's no God to protect us from them, is there?
I can't talk you out of this.
I think we've reached an understanding.
He checks into room 1408 at a New York hotel called Dolphin Hotel. And it's run by Gerald Olin, played by Samuel L. Jackson.
Ooh, the cool one.
Yeah. And this Gerald tries to convince Mike Enslin not to stay in the room because no one survives longer than an hour in there, let alone one night.
I read actually this little piece of information. They said that traditionally the 13th floor would never be recognized, so they name it 14
like
that.
Yeah. And Samuel Jackson's character tells John Cusack's character, don't stay there because it's an evil f***ing room. I can't do it the way he does it, but you know, you have to listen to him say that, you know, the way he says it. It's a Samuel Jackson way. It's based on a Stephen King novel. Horror in this movie is not the gore kind that's so prevalent in your current trend of torture porn, you know, like Saw 3, Hostel.
Vacancy.
Yeah, well, Vacancy is not so bad. I mean, you know, the Saw 3 kind, you know, the Hostel kind. It focuses on the horror of the mind. It's like the blood and guts are kept to a minimum. And I think that's what made the horror work for me. I think you'll walk out surprised thinking, actually, it's quite an intelligent horror flick. The movie will make you terrified of Carpenter's music.
Really?
Yeah. Now I will never listen to a Carpenter song the same way ever again. The CG was quite okay, except I think in the middle it got a little bit overboard and they piled it on too much and it dragged the movie down a bit. But it was a decent effort.
Is it a traditional Stephen King sort of like a mess with your mind? And
a little bit, yeah. But it you kind of get it very early on that it's just an evil f***ing room.
I see.
You know, there's nothing complicated about that room. You know, it's out to get John Cusack.
Gerald Olin, manager of the Dolphin.
If I can just get the key to 1408.
In the 95 years of the hotel's existence, there have been 56 deaths in 1408.
56?
No one's ever lasted more than an hour. The first victims to Kevin O'Malley.
Cut his own throat.
Do not stay in that room.
And the movie, the strength of the movie is really John Cusack's portrayal of his cynical character, Mike Anslin. 1408 is very much a one-man show, you know.
Has he deviated from his very romantic comedy, sweet and whatever?
No, he's not sweet here. He's really like, ragged and bored and yeah. And I think, you know, it's good that he pulls it off, you know. He's this one-man show. The one man pulls it off. It's mostly him. I mean, he carries it well. He moves between like feelings of disbelief, resignation, fear, determination, and he wrestles with the ghosts in his life. Uh-huh. And we actually feel for him. I know. I couldn't resist. My wife said that this was the first horror movie she actually felt touched, which is kind of nice. Yeah, it was a nice touch. I always enjoy watching John Cusack act. I think he's put on a little bit of weight. But he has that screen presence and the ability to pull off such a nuanced performance. And it's not really a blockbuster horror movie by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a good Friday night distraction. You know, you go there and it's worth watching just for John Cusack alone. And, oh, of course, Samuel Jackson saying his newest immortal movie line is an evil fucking room.
Okay, well, on to slightly happier movies. I watched Ratatouille.
Yeah, I finally got around to reviewing it.
Yes, after all the hype and all the, you know, iTunes releases and everything. So Ratatouille is actually about this rat, right, called Remy, who loves his food. Now, who doesn't, right? But he doesn't just loves it. He wants to learn how to cook it. So he ends up in Paris in this used-to-be 5-star restaurant and tries to observe the kitchen. And through a series of really bizarre events involving like a wandering ghost chef and a garbage boy called Linguini, Remy gets plunged into the action and helps Linguini pretend that he can cook.
Don't look at me like that! You're the one who was getting fancy with the spices! What did you throw in there? Oregano? No? What, rosemary? That's a spice, isn't it? Rosemary? You didn't throw rosemary in there? Then what was all the flipping and all the throwing the...
Now, this movie is chock full of comedians and veteran actors. For example, Peter O'Toole plays the Anton Ego, who is this very sarcastic, very sharp-witted food critic who has all the best lines in the movie. One of my favorites is when he looked at Linguini and he said, "If I don't love my food, I don't swallow." And I thought that was absolutely, like, chilling almost in a children's show. Yeah, excellent performances. Patton Oswalt plays Remy, the very fast-talking, slightly working-class Remy. And quite a few animators from Pixar actually came in to voice the characters as well. Mm-hmm. The artwork is absolutely beautiful, and the food is...
Yeah, that's the brilliant thing about the show, the food. They managed to pull off making the food look organic.
Oh yeah,
and hungry. You make you feel hungry if you haven't eaten anything, and it actually you can almost smell the food.
Yeah,
it's very hard to do that with CG food, by the way.
Yeah, they went through this whole production process of how the food drapes over each other, the kind of viscosity of the sauces, and wow, I mean the production process was so complicated, and yet it came together in such a seamless product. I really regret not eating, although everybody told me to eat before the show.
Yeah.
I regretted it.
And I think the story unfolded itself very nicely. You actually felt for a rat.
Well, it was a really simple story. See, it didn't have those twists and turns and the thrillers and whatnot, but it was simple in a very sweet way. So, I mean, I liked it. Most people I know really, really love it. And if anything, even if you are not a fan of like simpler storylines, watch it for the CG, man. I really, really take my hat off to Pixar, seriously.
They went through a lot of research to get this thing done, and it shows, you know, the fog effects, the water effects.
Mm.
Yeah, those are really cool.
Even the heat wave from the pan, oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, it's very good. And the kitchen was reproduced brilliantly as well. You know, I think they went out of their way to make sure the kitchen looked that way in order to make you believe that a rat can cook. You get the surrounding environments right, and then people will suspend disbelief that a rat can make another human being cook.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Cool. And lastly, we're going to look at the Rogue Assassin, a movie also known as War, starring Jet Li and Jason Statham. Is that how you pronounce his name? Statham?
Statham. I think so.
Statham, yeah. Or Statham. The both of them star in this action flick about Rogue, an assassin who went rogue.
I see. How complicated.
Oh, no, yeah. It's so obvious. It's that obvious in a movie. Jason Statham plays an FBI anti-gang cop. You know, he's in charge of all the gang stuff. And his character is called Jack Crawford, who wants to hunt down Jet Li's Rogue character because he believes that Rogue killed his partner and his partner's family.
Wait. He's called Rogue?
Jet Li's character is called Rogue.
Who's a rogue assassin?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He's an assassin. Yeah, I know. Okay. Oh. Yeah, I told you. Okay, Rogue used to work for the CIA as a freelance mercenary. And later he ends up working for the Yakuza. Then next moment he's working for the Chinese triads. And then the Yakuza. You don't know who he's working for, lah.
Okay.
Because he's so rogue, you see.
And he should name himself Rogue, yeah.
Oh, duh. My wife was muttering throughout the movie, the Jason Bourne movies, better action, eh? Yeah, well, the action here is just above average, at best. The movie tries to be intelligent with its ending, but you just end up feeling like, eh, why suddenly must have, like, you know, surprise ending and thinking ending and must think, I came for the action, must think, oh no. Okay, if you approach this movie knowing that it's going to be bad, I guarantee you, you will enjoy it better, way better. Okay, we had a lot of laughs at the bad acting. We had laughs at Jason Statham's American accent. You know he's British, right?
Yeah.
He's very British.
You killed my partner. Get ready for a war. You and I are gonna finish this.
Yeah, we laughed at the American Chinese actors trying to speak Chinese. Jason trying to speak Japanese at one point.
See, how about Jet Li and his...
Okay, Jet Li's height or lack thereof, the loopholes in the plot, the lack of a plot, the cliches. And some of the questions you will ask yourself, it would be like, how did Rogue's character become so powerful in such a short time? And you understand what I mean when you watch the movie. So like other examples, okay, of this hilarious badness. When Rogue fights with ninjas, right?
Mm-hmm.
He kills most of them with a sword. They're like, ting, 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 right? But when the last one escapes and tries to run away, you expect him to throw a samurai sword, right? That's what action movies do, right?
Or a dagger or something.
Right? No. He takes out a gun and shoots the guy. Yeah, very sad. I mean, what kind of half-ass martial arts assassin is he? Like, make up your mind. Like, you want to be Kung Fu Master? Or you want to be the killer kind, the gun killer? Or the explosives kind? You cannot be all three, right?
Yeah.
And it's just lame. And another funny moment is when you had this close-up of Jason Statham. He eyeballs Jet Li. It's like face-to-face, right? They finally have this face-off.
Like face-off.
Yeah. Then you go like, wait a minute. I thought Jet Li very short one, man. Short fart, right? How come they're almost the same height this close-up? So, Jet Li must be standing on a box. Or, at that point in time, he broke Jason Statham's legs. Because Jason is quite tall, right?
He did a Tom Cruise and, you know.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's very tragic. Devon Aoki.
Ooh.
I know. Starred as the Yakuza boss's daughter. And I don't know. She's not that pretty to me. I don't know why she's the chose her to be the eye candy. But she's got to be the most unnecessary character in the whole movie. I mean, like, at least the henchmen are there to get killed and beaten up. They have a purpose, right? If they're not there, then you have people to kill, right? She was just around to look fierce, to glower, to threaten her father's lieutenants with a flying dagger, and that's pretty much it. I think if she took MC during the shoot, nobody would notice. They would just edit around her parts. It's very sad.
But is there any other? Is she the token eye candy though, or
pretty much?
That's it. She's the only female in the movie.
No, there were other females, but they were like just the wife of the bad guy, and quite random.
So unnecessary.
Quite unnecessary. Yeah. I think it's a bit of a waste. I mean, Jason Statham is quite good in Transporter. I mean, by action flick standards, okay? And Jet Li is such an iconic, like, Chinese kung fu star, but he's been making just bad Hollywood movies, and they could have made a much more decent action movie with these two, but it could have been a clash of the East-West action stars.
Yeah, that's
but it was right. More like a few random punches of the East-West, you know, action stars. I mean, if you really, really like to laugh at bad movies, I think you should watch it. And it's enjoyable in that regard. So I still say go and watch it.
Was it as bad as Romeo Must Die?
Yeah.
Pretty much that standard?
Yeah, but Romeo Must Die, yeah, I think it's about that standard. But Romeo Must Die was slicker.
Oh.
You know, it was a slicker movie, less intelligent, but it had better looking, like, female leads. And yeah. The whole hip-hop thing going for it. But this Whoa. Is very different. This one was trying to be intelligent, you know, cop movie. And
Jet Li and his tiny, flying, kicking body.
Oh, man. It was bad, but bad in a good way. Okay, that's your show for this week.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
A production of C. What? Show.com.